And so I thought, well, I want to talk about another topic as well, and that is holiness. Holiness, which is a great big part of your life and my life as believers. Oops. Boy, oh boy. Hopefully I didn't break it for good, eh? There we go. Maybe I should undo it first, right? Nope. All right. We're stuck here at this height. All right. What I'm going to do this morning is actually going to take an old hymn, Take Time to Be Holy. And we're going to look at that actually a little more in our as we go along. One thing we got to understand is that our songs and our hymns and our choruses were written and designed to instruct us, to teach us, and to actually help us remember what we were learning. If you look at them all, they're all written in that way. In fact, one way to remember something is to sing it. I find that for myself. And like this, I heard the song during the communion. I could sing it because I know the words behind it all, even though it's just the music. And in these songs and hymns and choruses as well, we teach each other as well, right? And we learn things as well. And also by them, we find that Christ dwells within us, especially his word. If you look at Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing hymns, as you sing psalms, and as you sing spiritual songs." With what? With gratitude in your hearts to God. Ultimately, all worship is directed to God, is directed to him, right? And so a familiar hymn that I grew up with, and probably many of you have as well, with an important message is, "Take time to be holy." And I noticed when you were singing and practicing it this morning, you put the newer words up, but I could hear it when you were practicing. You were going back to the old way of singing it, the old words. I could hear it in your voice. You kept slipping into it every so often. But it's great that we remember those hymns. This song was written by a man called William Longstaff. He was not a hymn writer. In fact, this is the only poem that we know that he actually wrote. He was a son of a wealthy ship merchant. He was the treasurer of his church and, of course, gave freely of his wealth to Christian causes. But one morning at church, he heard a message, and it's found in 1 Peter 1:16. It says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And that's what his pastor spoke on. And it really drew him and made him really think about his life. And so what he did was he wrote down what holiness meant to him. He was a businessman, so he wrote words that were very concise, very thought-out words, and very down-to-earth words. It went into a paper at that time in 1882 in a Christian newspaper and promptly forgot it. Until years later when George Stevens was leading music in India during evangelical services. And he remembered the poem and he asked where it was and whereabouts that he could retrieve it. And so what he did was he actually put it to music. He retrieved that clipping and put it to music. And today we have this hymn, "To Take Time to Be Holy," and we sing it from time to time. And I know that as God's children, we are called to be holy, correct? We are called to be holy in our conduct. In fact, in 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, it says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Indeed, holiness is to be pursued. And so, as this morning, as in this sermon, I'm actually going to let the words of the hymn serve as my outline. Of course, some of you have the outline in your bulletin insert. On the back of it is actually the song itself, the hymn itself, And I'm going to use that as the outline. I'm going to walk through it, talk about it a bit, give a lot of scriptures to look at it and just get you to think. All right? I want you to note first that the hymn assumes the need to take time, right? Why do we got to take time to be holy? Why? Why? Well, in the second stanza, it says, the world rushes on. And I can ask you today, how hectic are your lives? How hectic are they? Your life is probably like mine, fast-paced, filled with activities that consume your time and your activity, right? And your energy as well. How many of you guys are raising children? I can see a few back here. Are you busy? Especially if you've got four or five of them, you're really busy, right? And some of you have got older children, and we're still busy, right, with our children, right? School activities. How about grandchildren? Those children, those guys keep you busy a lot. All right, they tire you out after a while, too. That's why we send them home when we're, after a couple of days, need to recover. We have community activities, right? We have everyday needs of going shopping and getting things and picking things up. We even have personal activities, stuff we like to do, like, you know, go out fishing, you know, go have coffee with the ladies and your friends, working activities. We have church activities, so we're very busy, very hectic in our lives. But we have to remember something. Our lives are very short. Correct? Very short. And I'm going to look at a few scriptures just to get you guys to think. Joel 14, 1 through 2 says, how frail is humanity? How short is life? And how full of trouble. Like a flower, we blossom for a moment, then wither. Like the shadow of a passing cloud, we quickly disappear. And then in verse 5, it says, you, God, have decided the length of our lives. Think about that. He has decided the length of our lives. Do you know how many months we will live, and we're not given a minute longer? Not given a minute longer. Right? It's like God has a day, a planner, and he's got your name in it, and he's got the time when he calls you home. Psalms 90 says, our days pass under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80. And then he adds, if you have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. And of course, James asks a very interesting question. He says, what is your life? And then he gives the answer, you are a mist. And of course, in the fall season, we see the mist coming off the lakes and off the ponds and off the river, appears for a little while, and then vanishes. That word vanishes, you know what it means? Poof. Poof. Gone. And I often think of this time when I read these verses, I always think of that country song sung by Alabama, I'm in a Hurry. How many remember that song? I'm in a Hurry, there they go, right? The chorus says, I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. In light of how short life is, to plan, to live, and to rush around, without considering the need to take time to be holy, it's not very wise. And before you know it, time and life will have slipped by. My mom was talking last time when she was coherent. She has dementia, so very just before she went into deep depressions and that, she says, you know, what's really startling, she says, is that my children are going to start collecting their pensions. She says, where did the time go? Just so quick. Gone. So we need to take time to be with our Lord. We need to take time to be holy. And that is why it takes time to be holy. Life is so short. The key thought which this psalm, this hymn is based upon, holiness must be pursued. In Hebrews 12:14, it says these words. It says what? Make every effort to live, of course, in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So make every effort. That speaks of something that has to be sought, vigorously sought, right? So we have to pursue holiness. Take it seriously. It's the desire to live a life holy unto God and separated unto God as well. From the moment of your salvation to the moment you enter his presence. The only evidence that we are in Christ is a holy life. Remember, it is not those who profess to know Christ who will enter heaven, but those who live a holy life. And also, too, we find that holiness is a service to God as well. Look at Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from what? Sin, and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. All right? Also, holiness must be perfected, and we find that in 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And perfecting is an interesting word. I looked it up. It's a word that means to finish or to complete. So once again, holiness is something we are to pursue. It's to be a big part of our Christian life. The pursuit of holiness is actually foundational to our godly living. All right. If we're not careful, time to develop holiness will be gone. So we must take time to be holy. It needs to be a priority in our lives, one of the top priorities. So how do we take time to be holy? Ever thought about that? Ever considered that? So let's look at the way to take time. In fact, the hymn encourages us to look at it again. It says, abide in him always. Much time spent in secret with Jesus alone. So basically, spend time with the Lord. What is one way that you would spend time with the Lord? The hymn kind of hints at it. When you spend time with the Lord alone, you are spending time in prayer, right? So prayer. Speak off with thy Lord. Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who was unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The next verse I have is from Psalms 5, and this is for those that are early morning people. All right? I know some of us are not. But it says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. So here he's telling us to lay our requests before the Father and wait for an answer. And not to do it kind of like, oh, when's it coming? But to wait for it in excitement that he's going to answer our prayers. All right? And through prayer, the Lord is ready to answer and intercede for us as well. Romans 8, 26 to 27, the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Then over in Hebrews 7:25, it says, he, that is Jesus, is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Fascinating verses. When we go into prayer, we find that we're not alone, are we? We find the Father's with us. We find that Jesus is with us and the Holy Spirit is with us. So if you don't know what to pray, they already know what's on your mind and what you want to say. All right? Another means is the Word of God. As the hymn suggests, feed on his Word. We know John 6:35 says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry. And those who believe in me will never thirst. So, do you take time to be with him? And I know, like, our lives are busy, especially if we got children. But do you find a time to open your Bible and spend with Him? All right? Him even suggests, let Him be your guide. We need to spend time in prayer. And remember, it is through His Word that we grow spiritually. 1 Peter says these words, like newborn babes, we crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. We're to feed on His Word. We can never underestimate the importance of finding time to be with the Lord alone through prayer in His Word. Stanza 3 in our song, on this hymn that we got, it says these words. It says, take time to be holy. Let Him be thy guide. And of course, our guide is His Word, right? And not run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. No matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in our lives, follow Him. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word. Of course, another way is to spend time with other Christians as well. The hymn says, make friends of God's children. And as a church, we do that, don't we? In fact, in Acts 2:42, it says, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then over in Hebrews 3, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We've come to share in Christ, for if we hold firmly till the end, confidence we had at first. So meeting together, spending time together, and also in Hebrews 10 it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. So we're to meet together. It's a time where we teach each other, spur each other on. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And we're to help those in weakness as well. To help, basically, we have services of deeds to do. Romans 14:1 says, accept Christians who are weak in faith. We're to help each other. It is a duty to all of us to come alongside those who need help. 1 Thessalonians says, as we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. So we're encouraged. Help others. Reach out to them. All right? In fact, in Galatians 6, it says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Then it says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And that means we're to use our gifts. Do some of you know what your spiritual gifts are? Do you know what they are? I think some of us do. And we're to use them to minister to one another. They're given to us for that reason, so that we may help and encourage each other. 1 Peter says, each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. So that in all things God may be pleased through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So we're to use those gifts. They're given to us to help each other. All right? We must never be too busy that we don't have time to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to help others as God gives us the opportunities. So we need to take time to be with the Lord. We need to take time to be with His people. We need to take time to serve and help others. And you will guarantee that people will see a transformation in your life. Now let's look at the benefits of taking time, all right? There are blessings when we take time to be holy. As the hymn says, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. One thing that came to my mind was as I was looking at this hymn. It says, be calm in thy spirit. So here we have a picture of inner peace and happiness. And of course, we know that it's spent through time of prayer, time with other believers as well, spend time in His Word. Philippians says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. See, and we have hectic lives. But you know, we can stop and take a few moments and rest in God's peace. And of course, we know that peace of mind comes through spending time with Him in prayer and spending time in His Word as well. Psalms 119 says, great peace have they who love your word, your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Do you love God's Word? Do you love spending time in it and reading, allowing it to sink deep into your life, to give you that inner peace and that inner happiness? Another one is, be blessed with renewed strength. Words of the hymn say, each thought and each motive beneath His control. And that takes a lot of strength, especially in a world that is just inundating us with all types of stuff. But we can find strength. In fact, in Philippians 4, it says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. It's through Him that gives us strength to live a holy life, especially in a world that has gone mad. And as we near closer and closer to His return, the more and more we need to live holy lives. Only through Christ can we do all those things. He alone gives us the power and the strength we need for every moment of every day. All right? Every day. How many of us just jump out of bed and run out the door? Okay, I'm glad somebody's honest. I do that sometimes too. Oh, time to go. Off I go. And I forget to spend time with Him. And you know what I discovered? By about lunchtime, I'm miserable. My day has just gone. I'm thinking, you know what? I know what the problem was. I didn't spend time with Him. I didn't come just for a few moments. Right? Philippians 3 says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Holy Spirit in your inner being. When we spend more time with Him, then we find that we've got the power to live every day. Only the Holy Spirit can strengthen us. He is the one who energizes us, revitalizes, and empowers us. And the more we give our lives to Him, the more power He gives to live every day. Another one is, you'll be blessed with an ever-increasing realization of God's love, as the hymn says, led by His Spirit to fountains of love. And as I was thinking about this phrase, I know there is a fountain in front of the legislature building in Edmonton, is there not? Right? When it's a real hot day, what do you feel like doing when you go there? Climbing into it and cooling off? Think about these words again in that aspect. Led by His Spirit to fountains of love. Boy, want to go swimming in His love? That's kind of what I get in my mind. Isn't that unreal? And we're, you know, God's love in our lives is manifestation of the Spirit in our lives. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. And of course, we know that love is also one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. All those flow out of love. Right? All of those flow out of love. This is not sufficient motivation to take time to be holy. When you think about it, another benefit is found in this hymn. You will become more Christ-like. The ultimate goal of holiness is found in these words. Like Him thou shalt be. Jesus said, a student is not above their teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Then in Romans it says, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. See, the more time we spend with Christ, there will be a transformation that will take place. And I'm going to guarantee you, when that transformation takes place, people are going to notice that you have spent time with Him. In fact, it says, thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Really makes you wake up to think, what is my life? Do people see Christ in me? Or who do they actually see? And I always think about that. When I think, I always think about Peter and John in Acts when they're before the Sanhedrin. And it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The more time we spend with him, somebody's going to notice and somebody's going to see it. It's going to be becoming very evident that he is at work in your life. And the more he transforms your life, the more that others are going to come. And they're going to begin to ask, what's the difference with you than with me? More importantly, the more time we spend with Jesus, he is also preparing us for the future. The hymn says, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Someday soon, a day will come, and we will serve our Heavenly Father throughout all eternity. And I'm just going to read about three verses. In Revelations, it says, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. And then Revelation 22, it says, the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Yes, indeed, you and I will reign with Christ and our Heavenly Father forever. That's the other goal of transforming, becoming more like Christ, preparing for eternity. And then, of course, in 2 Timothy, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he'll disown us. Is this not even more motivation to take time to be holy? God is preparing us for service above. And it begins today. So remember the need to take time. The world rushes on. It carries you along. And if you're not careful, it'll be all over. Life is very short. So spend time with God alone. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in his word. Spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. You have to make the time. I have to make the time. It has to be priority in our lives. Yes, someday we'll become more and more like him, and then one day we'll be in his presence. And I think of this moment, I want to close, and I want to ask the worship team to come up and lead us in that old hymn, take time to be holy. And as we sing, think about the words and the need to take time to be holy. And Father, as this hymn has said, take time to be holy. Press upon our hearts the need to seek you in all that we do. And holiness is priority. In thy name, Father. Amen.